Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to need to have your own scripture open to that because I won't put all of the scriptures up. And as you're on your way there, Hebrews chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Hebrews. Oh, okay, all right. It's a little farther in the New Testament than that. Toward the back of the New Testament, last few books. Matthew, Mark, we won't go through them all. And, you know, have you ever seen the picture of the little kids standing up against the bullies and all of a sudden the bullies are shocked and run away, and then you see the next frame and this giant of a father is behind him standing there snarling? That's how it is with our Lord. When we understand what He's done for us, when we understand who He's made us, what He's put inside of us, we might be just as naked as that little jaybird, but we're clothed with the presence of God and the strength and the armor of God in order to have victory. Sometimes we make life very complex. We really do. I mean, anybody in this room besides me ever have any frustrations? Come on. Turn to each other, look at each other and say, "You're really unholy, aren't you?" No. No, don't. Turn to each other and say, "We're in this together." But we make it so complex. We fret, we're frustrated, we worry about the stock market, we worry about our kids and our grandkids, we worry about our aches and our pains and whether or not our life is comfortable. And there are twists and there are turns, there are complications, there are questions, there are frustrations, there are confusions along the way. And sometimes in our heart of hearts, whether or not we will admit it to each other, we wonder, is this all really worth it? Is life in faith worth it? Is Christianity really true? Shall we just toss in the towel? Sometimes it seems like we continue in the trenches of life and we get frustrated. But honest people sometimes face issues where they stop in their own heart of hearts and say, is this faith in Jesus thing all it's cracked up to be? Or shall we really just eat, sleep, drink, and be merry? But we're not alone in that, if you've ever felt that. Some people may never have felt that, but I think most of us have had occasion where we too, like the psalmist, look at the wicked and wonder, why do the wicked prosper? And we're trying to walk with the Lord and things are so frustrating sometimes. Now, as we look at Hebrews 11, I want you to understand there's a context to it. This is sandwiched between Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11 is all about the hall of faith, the hero's hall of faith. It's one of the most preached on chapters. It's an incredible chapter from the scripture. I love it. But we need to understand it's got a context. The context is walking with God, relating with the Lord, knowing and believing Him, even in the midst of difficulty. Now, as we go through the scriptures, these first sets, I don't necessarily have all of them on there. So, now that you're in Hebrews 11, thank you, Pat, turn to Hebrews 10, just a chapter earlier, and I want to read verses 19 through 23. I don't have it up here, so I want you to see that in your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible, just slip up your hand. Somebody can get one for you in the back. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. I'm reading primarily from the New King James. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23. We're talking context now. We're setting the way for Hebrews 11 to come. Therefore, brethren, having what?
Boldness.
Say it with me. Having boldness. Come on, really loud. Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How do we get there? The blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. He opened up a way into the presence of God through His flesh. through the blood that He shed for us. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us, what's the two words? Draw near. He wants us near. God wants us close to Him. And how do we approach Him? What's the next phrase say? With a true heart in full assurance of faith. Come on, say that with me again. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. And then he says in verse 23, let us hold fast. Come on, say it with me. Let us hold fast. What? The confession of our hope without wavering. What you have in your mouth is crucial. Daria, you gave a praise report to it this morning. And good sharing with her, Shannon, encouraging her. Thank God for what the Lord has provided. It's one thing to have importunity. It's another thing to waver in faith. We need to ask in faith, believing, and thank God. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And I want you to read the last phrase with me. For He who promised is faithful. Again, He who promised is faithful. Pastor Carl has many times taught over the last 42 years that I've known him, it's not how big is our faith, it's how big is our God. It's not how big is our faith, it's how big is our God. We make error in the body of Christ and in our own life when we say things like, I just got to pump up more faith. I just got to have more faith. I just got to have more faith. And we sang a song, you don't need a whole lot, you just use what you got. Who's inside of you? He is faith. And when you see how big He is and how true His promises are, then you have a reason and an ability to believe. You don't pump up faith and then worship. You worship and see how big He is, and your faith is more in tune. Amen?
Amen.
How many love worship?
Yeah, absolutely.
You love Jesus more when you worship?
Yeah.
You see how big He is better when He's when you worship? You bet. All right, how do we come to God? Through Jesus. Not our own good works of righteousness. Those don't qualify. We don't get there that way. But we see what Jesus did for us. He took your sins and mine. Turn to each other. Say it to each other. He took your sins and mine. It's not by works of righteousness. Your own good works don't qualify you to come to Jesus. We know that He's the one who washes us clean from our sins. Pastor Kev, this is awfully basic. Yes, it is, but let's rehearse it. He's the one who washes us clean from our sins. We believe Him. We hold fast to Him. Verses 35 through 38. Again, I don't have them up there. See them in your scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 38. Therefore, do not, say it with me, cast away your confidence. Don't toss your confidence away. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it down. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw it aside. Because your confidence and faith, says here, has great reward. Verse 36. For you have need of, I'm reading from the New King James, endurance. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, I want you to stop right there. Does anybody in this room feel like God has ever given you a promise for something? And it hasn't come to pass yet. He's given you a promise. Let's see the other hand. Has it come to pass yet? Maybe you have one or two that haven't come to pass yet. If that's you, raise your hand. Okay. If it's you that every promise you've ever had from God has come to pass, then bless you, my child. And in closing, that's not the case for most of us. Some promises have yet to come to pass. Remember, Father Abraham, father of our faith, had a few promises. He and Sarah had a few promises, didn't they? Took a while to get there. But what we are tempted to do is exactly what these to whom the letter was written in Hebrews were tempted to do. Throw it away. Cast aside their confidence. And one more time he says, don't do that for a little while. He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Verse 38. Now the just shall what? Not just speak, not just pump it up, not just feel it. What if you don't always feel it? They will live. They will conduct their life by this faith. Watch this though. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Wow. I'm going to identify what that means. Now, what this means, cast not away your confidence, your liberty, your access to God, your title, your right to approach Him as a son or daughter of the Lord. You've got a birthright because you belong to Jesus. You walk in Dad's house. When you went home to your house as a kid after school, did you have to walk in, knock on the door and say, please let me in. Can I stay here tonight? Did you have to do that? Let me in?
No.
You just walked in the joint. Just like you owned it. Because your parents did. That was your home. You come into the house of God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and you get to come right into His throne. Because that's where you belong. It's your home. Don't cast aside your confidence. The clear evidence you have of the favor of God. Be steady. Be faithful. Don't lose it or throw it away. Neither men nor devils can take from you your place in Jesus, and God will never deprive you of that place if you remain faithful. How many know He's faithful? So stay faithful to Him. Now, this reference, don't cast aside your confidence. The picture here is all about cowardly soldiers. That's the picture. That's what's being referenced in this verse. These cowardly soldiers throw away their shields and they literally turn and run from the battle. Your shield is your faith in Christ. Right? Your shield is your faith in Christ. Gives you the knowledge of salvation. You can keep it. You're in relationship with Him. Don't throw it down. Don't run away. In history, the Laodiceanian women would present to their sons on the way to battle their shields. And they would say to them, either bring this back or be brought back upon it. Tough ladies, huh? Either bring it back or be back, coming back upon it. Their custom was they would lay a slain soldier on his own shield, a proof that he had fought honorably in battle and lost his life fighting on behalf of their country. They would also deliver their father's shields to them with these words, this shield thy father always preserved, do thou preserve it also or perish. Wow. Now, what was happening in Hebrews? What's happening here? They were undergoing the fires of persecution. We've spoken about that a lot lately. The fires of persecution in 60 AD under Nero, in 95 AD under Domitian, and they began to break out generation after generation. Christians going through horrific persecution. We know they slayed Jesus, and now the church, fire after fire. These Hebrews could no longer see Jesus. They were suffering. It was real. It was true. And they were Jewish Christians. Remember, Hebrews is all about how Jesus is better than our Israel Jewish upbringing. The blood of Jesus is better than the blood of goats and lambs that could not fully take away sin. The book of Hebrews is all written to Jewish Christians who were standing in the trenches wondering, should I go back? Because for generations we knew how to worship and we could see the blood shed from an animal. We could see the temple. We had our history. We had our religion. And I haven't seen Jesus come yet. And I don't see Him. Maybe I better go back. Do you hear it? Do you see it? They were fighting in the trenches for their faith. And the writer, and I believe it was Paul writing to them, saying, hang on to your faith. What you've got is better. It's better than what you used to have. What you used to have couldn't free you from sin. Jesus went to the cross and died a better sacrifice. The Lamb of God, the final sacrifice. You don't have to go back under sin. Just hang on. He's coming again. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to each other and say, Jesus is better than anything else.
Jesus is better than anything else.
He's better. The writer is saying to those who may think, I might have made a mistake, continue on. Don't draw back. Literally, he says, my soul doesn't take pleasure in those that draw back. You know what that means? That's a sailing phrase. And it means don't take in your sail. He's like a sailor out on the water, and the sailor is tempted to take in the sail instead of let out the sail. And the writer is saying, let's go on, let out your sail. Yes, it's stormy. Yes, it's difficult. Let out your sails. Let them furl. Let the winds blow in those sails and take us right across the water, and let's keep going. Let's go all out for Jesus. Paul quotes in here, Hebrews 10, and I really am going somewhere. Hebrews 10, verses 37 and 38. He quotes that section, and that's two verses that come from Habakkuk. And that is a prophecy. But the point being, in that section of Scripture, Paul is contrasting, or the writer is contrasting, with God, a soul who has come in to surrender to God, versus one who has raised himself up in disbelief. My soul is not pleased with those who turn back. That person who has turned back literally has raised up himself in disbelief or in unbelief toward God. Are you tracking with me?
Yeah.
The pictures are graphic here. And that person who's come down the road, who's now going to turn back, doesn't get any pleasure in God, and God doesn't get any pleasure in him, because that person's standing against God saying, I know better, I'm stronger, I've got it figured out, and Jesus doesn't work, I'm going back. I'm smarter than God. The root is, though they may be hurting, the root is pride. I know better than God. I can choose who I want, when I want, how I want. I'm saying salvation in Jesus doesn't work. How many know salvation in Jesus works? But sometimes it's tested, isn't it? Sometimes we're tested. So the creature there is saying, I'm smarter than God. I'm better than the Creator. That's what he means when he says, in that person, my soul finds no pleasure. All right? So there's Hebrews 10. Let's go to the other side. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Remember, Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. The heroes of faith are in a context. Hebrews 10, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, let us, say it with me please, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, look at how powerful this is. How are we to run? What gives us the strength, the ability, the anointing to run? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus is our example. Look at him. Watch him, the apostle says. He perfectly finished his race. So keep your eyes on him. See how he did it. He had distractions. He had people coming against him. He had every reason to throw down the towel and say, forget it. This is too tough. But he kept going because he saw you and he saw me and he saw people in deep relationship with the Lord who were free from sin. How many are glad this morning to be free from sin?
Yeah.
Only through the blood of Jesus, because of what he did. So Jesus perfectly finished his race. If anybody could have focused on trials and given up, it was Jesus, but he didn't. Think of all that he went through. Look to Jesus. He was ridiculed. He was whipped. He was spat upon. He was betrayed. But he kept going. He kept going right through to the fulfilling of the Word of God. Hebrews 12, verse 4 then says, you folks, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because you know what? You haven't yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Now, this struggle, struggling against sin is what this means. In the Greek, That is not wrestling against a personal struggle. Literally, that in here, in the Greek, is talking about struggling against others with wickedness who are coming against your walk with the Lord. Those who are bringing persecution. Those who are dealing with you, being horrific to the body of Christ. And he says, listen, you've not yet given your life as a martyr. You haven't had to go to that extreme. Hang on. Jesus had to die. Others have had to die. And remember, there's Hebrews 11, and you'll see a dramatic hall of heroes of the faith. And he reminds them all about that. So Hebrews 10 tells them to hang on. Hebrews 12 says why to watch Jesus. And Hebrews 11 is all to be a reminder to them of how they can accomplish it too. He gives them a whole bunch of stories that remind them, oh, somebody else made it too. Wow, I can do it too. I don't have to be discouraged. Isn't it helpful to see people who've been helped by the Lord in the midst of their struggles? You know, CBN is great for that. One testimony after another testimony. People are interviewed and you know, you got Daystar and you got some of the others. Some of the neatest testimonies of what Jesus has done. And it encourages your faith. You go, oh, I can do it too. And that's why he gave them Hebrews 11. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you an easy, simple message that helps us walk in faith. This is called How to Please God. Anybody in this room want to please God? Yes. How to Please God. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. I'll take them a few verses at a time. Verses 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Isn't that interesting? Faith. Faith. Let's start. Hebrews 11, verse 1, out of different versions to get a perspective. New American Standard. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Conviction of things not seen. Out of the New Living. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Out of the Message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Out of the NIV. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. New King James says, now, faith, it's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. We can't see it, but we believe it. You can't see gravity, but how many know if you take your Bible right now, don't do it, please, and drop it, it'll fall to the ground. You know that. How many know if you jump off of a 10-foot embankment, you will fall to the ground. You aren't born with wings. You might not fly yet. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by the worlds were framed by God's word, the scripture says. He spoke them into existence. Everything had a beginning. And now you have scientists studying the things which were created to enable them to understand how it was created. God took it from nothing and made it. And that's what the Bible says. And they study things which already are to see how they came about. But God created it all from the beginning. He spoke them. And we believe. Am I looking at a room full of believers here this morning?
Yes.
Come on, say it with me. I am a believer. Punch each other in the arm and say, I'm a believer. How about you? All right, we've read again. The Judaizers had come into the body of Christ telling them they had to go back and circumcise. We had people discouraged. They didn't see Jesus coming yet. And should we, have we given our faith for nothing? Should we go back to our religion? But there's so many invisible, intangible realities to Christianity. And I couldn't see Jesus anymore. What should I do? And this says the elders proved their faith by what they lived, their life, how they trusted God. What they did proved what they believed. Say it with me. What I do shows what I believe. What I do shows what I believe. You can tell me all day long, I believe it this way, but if you go and do the opposite, you don't really believe it that way, do you? What I do shows what I believe. What I believe is shown by what I do. Amen? You can tell the gospel by how we live. The elders proved it. All right. Let's talk very specifically about somebody. Because we start in this section of Hebrews into the heroes of faith. Who's the first one? Abel. Abel. By the way, sad statement, it doesn't start with Adam and Eve, who were covered by the blood of an animal shed. They sinned. And God doesn't start with them. He starts with one of their offspring. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How many remember that story? I'm just going to refer to it here this morning. But a better sacrifice through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. Sometimes, you guys, we wonder about this story. Two brothers, the first two sons of Adam and Eve, bring their offerings to God. Cain grows crops. Abel works with animals. Cain brings crops to God for his offering. Abel comes and slays an animal. And God accepts whose? Abel's sacrifice. And doesn't accept Cain's. And sometimes we read it cavalierly and we say, how unrighteous is that? God, that's not fair. How'd they know? They knew. Let me talk to you about this. They knew what to bring to God. Adam and Eve had sinned a long time previously. And Adam and Eve knew from God that God had to shed an animal and the blood had to be shed and the animal had to die to cover their sins, to wash them clean and give them skins to wear because they were naked. And God doesn't want us left naked in sin. Sin will destroy our lives. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This had happened a long time previously, and they knew how to come to God. Now watch. Abel brought a thanksgiving offering, and with humility approached God with an offering of an animal and blood that was shed. And it was a sweet aroma to Jesus saying, I see your humility and I cover over you. And Cain, many commentaries call Cain the first deist because he approached God with a thanksgiving offering, but saw no need to walk in any humility before the Lord. Like some people we know who say, I don't need a lamb who shed his blood for me. I don't need a sacrifice offering. I don't need Jesus. I'm fine with God by myself. Now, the love of God was involved. Remember, Cain gets angry. He knew what he should do because the system was in place, but he gets angry. And you remember what God says? God says to him, look, sin lies at the door here. You need to get a grip on this, and if you'll bring the right kind of offering, you'll be fine. God tried to reach him. If you'll bring me the right kind of offering, you'll be fine. And you read in the history and the texts and the earliest commentaries and the earliest texts of the scriptures in the Hebrew, what you find is a story where Cain takes his brother and says, come with me, let's go out either to the field or let's go out to the desert. And when he's there with him, he rises up and he kills him. And Abel is the first martyr for his faith in the Bible. Because he believed in God and shed blood as the way to approach God. In the Old Testament, saints were saved by putting their faith in the Messiah who was to come. The blood of animals could never do it, but the blood of animals was a picture for the final Lamb of God who would be sacrificed. And Cain is a picture of someone who says, I can do it myself. You're fine. Thanks a lot. I'll toss a little something your way and I'll be fine. How many know that's not true? We all need Jesus. So Abel is a man of faith who believed in humbling himself before God and coming through the blood of the Lamb. It's powerful, isn't it? When you understand what the story is all about, it's not just God rejecting an offering, but it's an understanding that he purposely rejected how to bring an offering, and he knew what to do. Secondly, Enoch, 11, verse 6. We're going to come to a close with just a couple of stories here this morning about the heroes of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony, say it with me please, that he pleased God. Genesis 5, verse 24 is where the story is. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him out of the new living. He walked in, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. What happened? Enoch pleased God. How? How? We come up with these complex things in the Bible. We come up with these complex theories of what do I have to do to find my destiny? What do I have to do to, what do I have to do to really make God happy with me? And what kind of works do I have to do? Do I have to create the new light bulb? Do I have to be a genius and come up with a modern miracle? What do I have to do? And the answer is just walk with God. Just walk with Him. Talk with Him. Read the Word and adore Him, love Him, worship Him. We make it so complex. And God says, you want to know how to please me? Walk with me. Don't mean to let you down. It's a lot more simple than we make it, isn't it? He walked with God. He loved God. He walked with Him. He talked with Him and told Him He was His own. God, you'll see His heart expressed. Remember, Adam and Eve were to be His companions. He'd show up in the cool of the day and He'd walk with them. And He'd talk with them. They lost that. But Enoch chose it again. What does it mean when it says he pleased God? It means he gratified God entirely. How can you please God? I mean, my goodness, that's God. And God says, I got a simple way. Walk with me. Believe me. Be my son. Be my daughter. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, died, buried, rose again, so you could do that. He just walked with God. Watch it. 21 through 24 of Genesis 5. Enoch lived 65 years. He begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You see the point? Having kids will bring you to God. Isn't that the truth? We don't know what he did for the first 65 years, but after he had a kid, man, this guy was on his knees. For 365 years, at least 300 of them, this man showed up every day with Jesus, with God. He talked with him and he loved him and he conversed with him. Can you imagine just going on a walk with God? You know, I have friends who like to kayak, just out there kayaking, talk to Jesus. I have friends who like to take walks or walk their dogs or love their dogs. Dogs will drive you crazy. Anyway, just converse with God while you're doing it. Or maybe read. But while you're reading, you stop and you thank God and talk with Him about what you're reading. And maybe you're reading the Scriptures and you don't understand something. You say, Jesus, I don't get this. Simple stuff. And we make it so complex. Can't always see Him. But He's there. And He loves you. Jesus loves you. He walked in faith. And I'm going to close in about 2 minutes. Your faith bears fruit. And what's the instruction for us? Go ahead, Pat. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. That is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. With your faith, you please God. The word faith in the Greek is the word pistis. It means persuasion, conviction, reliance. You utterly rely and completely rely on Him for daily strength. You can't see Him, but you know He's there. And you too can be a hero in the hall of faith, because even just the first two we looked at, did they do anything complex? Nope. They just obeyed God. They just walked with Him. How can you gratify the heart of God? Just walk with Him. How can you please God? Just love Him. Keep walking with Him. And we say, Lord, but you are late. You're late. You don't show up on time. And, you know, I feel like I'm dangling right over the precipice here and I don't get it. And I don't know if I can keep doing this. Maybe I should go back to something I can see. Because you're asking me to put trust in the one I can't. Have you ever felt like God was late? I'm going to close with a story I've told you before. TV preacher shared it again this morning. I thought, you know, that works. It was a Walmart greeter. The best one that this Walmart had ever seen. He was kind, he was caring, he was happy, he was gregarious as an older man. And some of us know what that's kind of like, you know. And you thank God for a happy Walmart greeter, right?
Yeah.
This guy, everybody loved him. He had a problem, though. He was late. Every day. Didn't matter if it was 3 minutes or 30 minutes. This guy was late every single day. And the managers loved him. But they were so frustrated. They didn't know what to do with this guy. Finally, the general manager calls him into his office. And he looks at him and goes, how long have you been with us? Oh, you know, a couple years now. He goes, you know, we all love you. You know that. Yes, sir, I know that. We just think you're great. You're doing your job so wonderfully. Thank you, sir. But we got one problem with you. Oh, well, what's that? Why are you always so late? You're always late. Well, yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'll try to do a better job. Well, what was your career before? I was in the military. He says, well, what did they do when you showed up late then? With humility, he looked up and he said, well, I'd walk in and they'd look at me and they'd say, Good morning, Admiral. Would you like a cup of coffee, sir? And sometimes we think God's late. But the Lord knows what to do and how to do it. And He's always right on time. And what He's looking for is a very simple group of people who say, I'm just going to keep walking with you, Lord. Even when you don't show up on my time, I'm just going to keep believing you. I don't see you, but I believe you. How do we please God? Just keep walking. Just keep believing. Stand with me, would you? Musicians, will you come? Would you stand? The Lord has spoken to you this morning, and anything applies to your heart, I encourage you as we close, just commit your heart in a fresh way to Jesus. He loves you so much. If you need healing in your body, I urge you to come up for prayer. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you need a free release in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues, we're going to put Nancy to work. If you need that, Nancy will be honored to pray with you. She's very gifted at that, and others will pray with you as well. We love you, and we're here for you. But most importantly, Jesus is here for you. He's always on time. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning for your good news, your grace, your mercy to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are always on time. We want to please you, Lord. Most of all, what we want to do is please you. We pray, Lord, that you'll take your liberty continually in our lives, and we walk in faith, believing. In Jesus' name. They all said?